Thank you, praise team. Great reminder of the goodness, the grace, the faithfulness of our Lord. And what a great way to prepare our hearts as we come to worship through the Word here this morning. If you would, take your copy of God's Word and open to Matthew chapter 13. And of course, seeing my face up here is a reminder that we need to continue to pray for our pastor, for strength, for encouragement, for healing for him today. We'll be in Matthew chapter 13 as we shift over to our parables series, thinking about what it means to live for the King through the various parables that Jesus taught. And today we're going to look at one of those that I'm sure is very familiar to most of you. Today we're going to look at what is often called the parable of the sower. And I always think it's an interesting title for this parable because the parable's not really about the sower much at all. And really, it's not a whole lot about the seed that is being sown, although that's incredibly important. I like to refer to it as the parable of the soils because it seems that the soils is what's really important and what Jesus wants to communicate something to us about in this parable. So as we think about the parable, I want us to consider principles for sowing the gospel. Principles for sowing the gospel. When our family moved to Missouri just several years ago, we were used to this regular springtime tradition of planting a garden in our backyard. It was just something fun to do. It was something we weren't great at. We're no experts by any means, but it was enjoyable to plant things in our garden and to, you know, reap the benefit of that, to see it grow. When we moved to Missouri, our plan was that we would put a garden into our backyard, and we really didn't think it was going to be much of a big deal at all. I mean, we'd been doing it for many years. The people doing the sowing were going to be the same. We're not very good, but things seemed to grow okay. You know, we'd done that before. It was going to be the same seed, or at least the same kind of seed. We had no problem with that seed before. But we did run into a problem. And the problem was our house that we moved into was new construction built on a hillside. And when they were in the process of building the house, they brought in a big scraper and they scraped all the topsoil off of our backyard. And we could barely get grass to grow back there. We could plant the same seed. We could hope for the same results, but it was going to have a hard time growing. In our backyard, the soil wasn't good. The soil had a problem. Now, I think probably most of us understand basic gardening. We know that you need to have decent soil if you're going to grow things very well. If it's clay, things are going to struggle to grow. If you have really rocky ground, things are going to have a problem growing. If you don't clear away the weeds, there's going to be a problem. No matter how good that seed is, no matter how good the sower is. Well, according to Jesus, there are some similar truths that apply when we're sowing gospel seed. You see, to put this parable in context, in the previous couple of chapters, Jesus has been teaching in the area of Galilee. And what we've seen, or what we see in those chapters, is some very mixed reactions to his message. Some people were believing. Some people were following Jesus, but many, many others did not. And you wonder, well, what's the deal? I mean, they're hearing the same message. They're getting the same seed. The sower is the same. What's the deal? Well, here in the parable of the soils, Jesus tries to make sense of this for us. He tries to help us understand what's going on here. He wants his disciples to understand what's happening. Some are believing, but many are not. And so let's go to Matthew chapter 13. Would you stand for a moment in honor of the reading of God's word? I want to read verses 1-9, and then we'll skip down to verse 18. The word of the Lord says this. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat beside the sea, and great crowds gathered about him so that he got into a boat and sat down, and the whole crowd stood on the beach. And he told them many things in parables, saying, A sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seeds fell along the path, and the birds came and devoured them. Other seeds fell on rocky ground where they did not have much soil, and immediately they sprang up since they had no depth of soil. But when the sun rose, they were scorched, and since they had no root, they withered away. Other seeds fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Other seeds fell on good soil and produced grain, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. He who has ears, let him hear. And then we'll skip down to verse 18. Hear then the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what has been sown in his heart. This is what was sown along the path. As for what was sown on rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy, yet he has no root in himself, but endures for a while. And when tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately falls away. As for what was sown among thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. As for what was sown on good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it. He indeed bears fruit and yields in one case 100-fold, in another 60, and in another 30. This is the word of the Lord. Would you pray with me? Father, this morning, our desire, our expectation is that you will speak to us through your word, that your spirit would be at work in this room and in our hearts to convict us from your word, to challenge us to be sowers of gospel seed. Father, have your way in our hearts and in our lives this day. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. Well, as I alluded to a moment ago, Jesus is wanting to bring some clarity to his disciples about the kingdom of God, and he's going to give a series of parables to help do that. And this is going to be the first of those parables that he gives to those listening to him. Now, here's the thing. Disciples who are devoted to King Jesus, they're going to have to be gospel sowers. They're going to have to be. It's an expectation of being a disciple. So this means we're going to need a biblical understanding of what it means to sow, a biblical understanding of the expectations and what happens when the gospel seed is sown. And I hope to show us that from the text with four principles for sowing the gospel. The first one, and this is really important for us this morning, sow the gospel seed far and wide. Sounds pretty basic, doesn't it? But sow the gospel seed far and wide. Now, several times in our passage, Jesus has used this word seed. He's talked about seed here in the parable. What's he talking about exactly? Well, if you go down to verse 19, Jesus tells us exactly what he's referring to by this seed. He tells us that the seed is the word of the kingdom. It's the word of the kingdom. Now, up to this point in the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus has actually talked about the kingdom lots of times. He's told us that it's God's kingdom. He told us that the kingdom is not something just in the future, it's not something in the past, but it is at hand. It's a reality in their presence now. He says of the kingdom, you can receive it and you can enter into it. So church, the seed we're talking about this morning is this word. It is the message of salvation that comes through faith in King Jesus. So the seed seems to be a big deal. It seems to be really important to the lives of Christians. It's a life-giving seed. And without this life-giving seed, without sowing this seed far and wide, there is no other path to salvation. There's no other path to hope beyond this life. the seed seems like a big deal. Now, what's interesting about the sower here in our parable is he doesn't seem to be tediously evaluating every spot that the seed is being placed. He's not walking around thinking, I think this might be a good spot. I'll put some here. No, that's bad. And I think I'll put seed over here. He's not tediously evaluating the soil. He's just spreading it. He's just casting the seed. He's sowing it, it would seem, indiscriminately. Everywhere, every kind of soil, every kind of place, he seems to be covering every square inch of his field with seed. And we'll just see what takes. We'll see what ends up in good soil, and that's what's ultimately going to grow. Church, the way the sower is sowing seed here in our passage is exactly how we need to be sowing the gospel seed. Oh, it's so easy to just keep that seed in the pouch. It's so easy to be very discriminate in how we sow, but we want to sow far and wide. I think if you're like me, this is my struggle sometimes. I feel like sometimes I worry too much about the perfect approach. The perfect approach to sharing with somebody. I worry about finding the perfect person, and you know, you look around and you think, no, they wouldn't be interested. No, that person wouldn't be interested. We worry about the perfect approach, maybe the perfect person to tell, the perfect situation. This isn't good time. Maybe I'll wait for a more convenient circumstance to sow the gospel. And listen, here's the reality, though. This is what we have to remind ourselves. God isn't waiting for us to achieve some kind of perfect gospel presentation, whatever that would even look like. He's just asking his church to be faithful and obedient and intentional. Now again, if you're like me, this is an area where we struggle because we can get so caught up in the busyness of everyday life that we forget that we're Great Commission people. That we're supposed to be sowing the seed. Listen, it's not like the kingdom falls apart because we fail. We just don't get to be a part of what the kingdom is doing all around us. And we're being unfaithful in the process. God just wants his church to be faithful, obedient, and intentional. And listen, as people who are devoted to King Jesus, we need to commit. We need to make a stronger commitment to proclaim King Jesus far and wide. It doesn't matter who it is. It doesn't matter where it is. It doesn't matter what the timing is. People need Jesus. So sow the gospel seed far and wide. And here's what we see, and it really gets to the heart of what Jesus is talking about with these soils. Secondly, expect lack of perseverance in many. That's one of the unfortunate things about gospel sowing, but expect lack of perseverance in many. It's interesting here in the passage, there are four kinds of soil, and really four kinds of hearts. Or heart soil, if we want to put it that way, that are being described. And if you notice, three of them aren't good. Three of them aren't good soil, right? You have the path, for example. This is where the gospel never penetrates into the heart. Verse 19 says, the evil one comes and snatches away what has been sown. These are the people who just blow us off. They heckle the word. They think we're ridiculous for believing something so foolish. They just blow off the word, right? It never takes root, right? This person hears the word of the gospel. It's not like they don't have ears and they can't hear. It's in a language they understand. Oh, but there's no real understanding of the message. They don't get what's at stake in the message. And if it baffles you this morning, how can this be? How can people hear the message of Jesus, the gospel of salvation through his death and resurrection, how can they hear that and not believe? Consider what the Apostle Paul says in 1 Corinthians 2:14. He says, the natural person, this is the person apart from Christ, without Christ, the natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are folly to him, and he is not able to understand them because they are spiritually discerned. In other words, if we're going to do some gospel seed sowing, we need to be praying that the Spirit of God would be at work in the hearts of those we're sharing with. Because unless the Spirit is at work, unless the Spirit has opened the eyes, opened the ears of that individual, the message just hits a heart that is as hard as that packed path. And it's not going to take root. You see the path, but then the second kind of soil is the rocky ground. Verse 20 tells us that this represents the person who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. And it sounds really promising. They seem excited. They're like, yeah, okay, I think I want a part of that. I want some of that in my life. I want a little bit of Jesus in my life. It sounds really, really good. But then look at verse 21. There's no root. They endure for a little while, but there's no perseverance. Why don't they persevere? The text says some tribulation comes their way. A little bit of persecution comes at them. Somebody ridicules them for this newfound faith. They begin to suffer difficulty because of following Jesus, and they fall away. In other words, maybe if we can put it simpler, is they didn't count the cost. Maybe they fell into what Dietrich Bonhoeffer called easy believism. If I follow Jesus, this is going to make everything skittles and rainbows in my life. And I'm going to walk around skipping and whistling and everything. It's going to be so wonderful. Never any bad moments, never any hard days in my life. Folks, if that's how we're sharing the gospel, we're doing people a disservice. These people don't realize that following Jesus can be hard at times. And they're suffering. And Jesus said, look, a servant isn't greater than his master. If he suffered, we can expect it as well. They need to count the cost. And maybe there needs to be a component of that in the way that we communicate the gospel to individuals. That's the rocky ground. Then we have this thorny ground. Verse 22 tells us, this person also hears the word. And it doesn't say it there, but seemingly they receive it at first, maybe, but then the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word. The text says they're unfruitful. David Platt calls this one the divided heart. They want a little bit of Jesus and they want a little bit of the world and they want to see how both of those things can coincide in their heart. And you know what happens when you try to have a little bit of Jesus and a little bit of the world in your heart? One of those is going to win out. Either Jesus is going to be glorious enough and big enough in our lives to push out the things of the world, or the world will overtake us, and what we end up with is not a little bit of Jesus and a little bit of the world, but just the world. And this is what happens when the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches overcome us. We don't have to look very far to see examples of that all around us. All three kinds of soil, listen, they represent individuals who fail to persevere. Either they don't even begin or they fail to persevere. You know, I think it's no coincidence that in the New Testament, on several different occasions, you have this comparison of the Christian life to a race. Remember some of those examples, some of those illustrations? Maybe that we should compare the Christian life to a marathon. Maybe that would be a better illustration for us. And did you know that on average, 20% of the individuals who begin running a marathon, they never finish? Now, I know some of you are probably like me and you're thinking, I'm surprised the number isn't higher actually, right? Because that's not an easy thing. Over 26 miles of running. Marathons they're not easy. You've got to have some perseverance. You've got to press on through the difficult times in the midst of a marathon. That's why the Apostle Paul says, run to obtain the prize. Run to finish the race. Nobody's impressed with someone who begins a marathon. We're impressed by those who finish the race. Listen, we want to be excited. We're excited when people begin running the race of the Christian life. But listen, lots of people seemingly do that. We should be celebrating those who finish well, who finish the race, persevere to the end, because this is evidence of genuine faith in Christ. Church, devotion to King Jesus compels us to proclaim the gospel. But we need to understand in the midst of this that there are many around us who aren't going to receive it. And if they seem to initially, they won't persevere in the true faith. So how do we respond to this reality? How do we respond to this? Well, third, I think we see in the passage, we need to trust the results of gospel sowing to God alone. Trust the results to God. I think we could get really discouraged when we go out to sow the gospel. And maybe this is what really gets people, and they get discouraged and they get really disappointed, and so they stop doing it because they're like, I'm not seeing any results. Maybe I'm not good at this. Maybe I don't know what I'm doing. We could get really discouraged when we go out to sow the gospel. People don't believe, or those who do, some of them fall away from the truth later on. Listen, some Christians carry an incredible burden with them. And listen, I've done that at times. You probably have as well. What did I do wrong that they didn't believe? What didn't I say that I should have said? Or what did I say that maybe I shouldn't have said? Maybe I scared them away. Maybe I didn't do it quite right. Maybe there are other people better than me, and so I'll just let them do it because clearly I don't know what I'm doing, right? I could have done a better job in sharing the gospel. Well, listen, if I could put your mind at ease just a little bit, most of the time, unless we've like presented some perverted gospel, some false gospel, most of the time, there's nothing else you could have done. There's nothing else you could have done. We need to understand that just like the sower out there in the field spreading the seed, some of it takes and some of it doesn't, but it's not dependent upon us. In the parable, notice, the problem is not with the sower. The problem is not with the seed. The issue is the soil. Christian, you can't control the results when you share the gospel. If someone doesn't believe, or if they don't persevere in that initial indication of faith, that's going to break our hearts for sure. I mean, I think about the Apostle Paul and how it broke his heart that the Jewish people were rejecting Jesus left and right, it would seem. So many of them rejected Jesus, it broke his heart. In Romans 9:3, he even says this. This is hard. He says, "For I could wish that I myself were accursed and cut off from Christ for the sake of my brothers, my kinsmen according to the flesh." He says, there are moments when it breaks my heart to the extent that I could wish, he doesn't wish this, but I could wish that I was cut off if all of them would come in to the faith. But I want you to notice what he says three verses later, and this is really important. He adds this truth, "But it is not as though the word of God has failed." It is not as though Paul failed. It's not that the gospel message failed. The outcome isn't up to us. Now, that's certainly true when folks don't believe, but even if they do, even when they do, even when we share the gospel with someone and they profess Christ and they become the next Billy Graham and they win thousands of other people to Christ, we rejoice, we celebrate. But it still wasn't about us. It still wasn't about us. In 1 Corinthians 3:6, Paul reminds the Corinthian believers, "I planted, Apollos watered, we all had a role, we were all involved, you know, there was seed being sown, there was some work being done," but he says, "but God gave the growth." And he adds this, "so neither he who plants nor he who waters is really anything, but only God who gives the growth." Here's the thing. If you and I are obedient in spreading the gospel, we're going to see good results. We're going to see fruit. We're going to see people come to faith in Jesus. And when I tell myself, and I would say this to anyone else as well, if I begin to convince myself, look, people just aren't coming to faith through my evangelism. It's not very good. It's not really working. When I begin telling myself that, what I really should be saying is, if you sow more, you will see people come to faith. It's not like God has quit saving people. It's not like the gospel isn't working anymore. It was a cool message 2,000 years ago, but we need some modernized, catchy way of doing it today. No, we don't. We just need to be faithful. If we're obedient, listen, God will use us as instruments in bringing someone to salvation. We will. We need to remind ourselves of that. God wants to use us as his instruments. He wants to use us in the lives of other people to bring them to salvation. And that's a joyful experience, but still the results are God's and they are his alone. He did it. And so we celebrate him and what he continues to do. Christian, the hard truth is we fail only when we stay silent. We fail in gospel sowing only when we refuse to sow the gospel seed. Now, don't carry the burden of those who reject the gospel, but to be fully devoted, if we're going to be a people devoted to King Jesus, then we need to be faithful in sharing the gospel and trusting the results to him. Because listen, if we keep sharing, we're going to see the gospel take root. We're going to see it take root in people's lives. And then we can fourthly anticipate fruit, right? We can anticipate fruit when the gospel takes root. We talked about the first three kinds of soil in the parable, but let's not forget the best kind, right? There's one more kind of soil that we need to consider. And this is what Jesus calls the good soil. Jesus tells us in verse 8, it's clear when good seed is planted in good soil. How do you know when good seed is planted in good soil? He says, it produces. Something happens. There's fruit. Not always the same amount. When you plant your garden, you probably produce more than I do because I'm not that good at it. It's not always the same amount. Anytime you sow seed in a field, but there is fruit. There is fruit. Imagine if we're going out to sow seeds for a tomato plant and the plant begins to grow up and you get excited. You see the full leaves come out on the stem and everything's green and it's growing up really, really tall. It gets bushy. And after a while, middle of summer comes and there's no fruit. Nothing's happening. There's no tomatoes on the tomato plant. Would you be okay with that? No, because that's not why you planted it. That's not the purpose, right? That's not what a tomato plant is supposed to do. What do tomato plants do? They produce tomatoes. They produce fruit. That's pretty obvious. That's pretty basic, isn't it? Well, listen, so it is with the human heart as well, that is characterized by good soil. The same thing is true. In verse 23, Jesus says, this person that is characterized by good soil, this heart that we're talking about, they hear the gospel, they understand the gospel, and that's all really, really good, but notice it doesn't stop there. He says they bear fruit. Some a lot, some less, right? Varied amounts. Different amounts along the way, but again, there's fruit. It doesn't have to be, the pumpkin that wins the county fair or something like that, but there is fruit. There has to be fruit. Listen, Christians, we can and we must anticipate fruit when the gospel takes root. And there are times when Christians will ask, okay, I get it. I know not everybody's going to believe, but I know I'm called to this. I know obedience and faithfulness is a matter of taking the gospel to my friends. It's a matter of taking the gospel to family members and lost people around me. But how do I know who to share the gospel with? I mean, I bet if you polled most people in the city of Amarillo, you're still going to get a really high number who say, yep, I'm a Christian. How do you know who to share the gospel with? Well, let me give you a few thoughts here. The first one is this. It's never wrong or inappropriate to share the gospel or have a gospel conversation with anyone. And here's why I say this. If somebody is already a Christian, they're going to appreciate that. They're going to celebrate the fact that there are other believers being faithful in sharing the gospel. But if they're not yet a believer, if they're not following Christ, there's nothing more important than they need to hear. So there's never a bad time. There's never a wrong person or a wrong place to share the gospel. Here's the second thing I would say. We probably need to stop asking people if they're Christians. That doesn't mean don't engage people in conversation, don't spread the gospel, but it's probably not helpful anymore to just ask people if they're Christian. It may be one of the most meaningless questions we ask people. Maybe we should be asking if they're a disciple of Jesus, if they're following Jesus, what's their relationship with Jesus look like, something else like that. But asking somebody if they're a Christian and they say, well, of course, and we walk away thinking, wow, everybody's saved around me, I don't have to do anything. No, that's crazy, isn't it? Maybe we should stop asking people if they're Christian and ask them more meaningful questions. And then finally, look for gospel fruit in somebody's life. If you want to know who to share the gospel with, we're not out to beat people over the head, but look for gospel fruit in someone's life. Now, you can't do this in cold calls if you're just randomly knocking on doors or, you know, for our students, when you head up to Provo, it's probably really hard to get to know people well enough to actually see fruit in their lives. You can't do that all the time. But look for gospel fruit in a person's life. Jesus said in Matthew 7 that a healthy tree bears good fruit. And it doesn't just do it for a season. It doesn't just do it for a year or two. It's a continual thing in their lives. They're bearing good fruit. As a matter of fact, if we were to turn over to the Gospel of Luke and read Luke's account of this parable that we just looked at in Matthew, if we looked at his version in Luke chapter 8, we would see that Jesus adds this. He says they hear the gospel, it takes root in their life, and he says they hold it fast in an honest and good heart. That's important, isn't it? They don't just hear it, believe it for a season, believe it for a year or two, but they hold it fast. It becomes very central to who they are. They hold it fast in an honest and good heart. They hang on to the gospel, they persevere, and they produce fruit that increasingly looks like Jesus in their lives. Yeah, I mean, it's Galatians 5. It's the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, and patience, and so on. But it's even more than that. It's beginning to look like Jesus in every aspect of who we are. We're never going to do that perfectly, but we want to seek to do that persistently. So they begin to produce fruit that looks like Jesus. You see, this is just another key component of being devoted to King Jesus. We sow the gospel seed. We trust the results to the Lord alone. And then we produce fruit, right? We hold one another accountable to the expectations of what it means to grow in our faith, to become more and more like Jesus. If we're going to be devoted to Jesus, we're going to grow to look more like him, and we're going to be obedient in telling others about him. This morning, I want to challenge us, because I'm challenging myself in the process. As a matter of fact, one of my goals for this year, as I was thinking at the end of last year, moving into this year, about, you know, where do I need to grow? One of those areas is, Lord, make me more faithful to sow seed. Make me more faithful to share with people. Quit evaluating them and thinking I know who's going to believe and who won't, but just be faithful to share. And maybe that's a commitment that you would want to make as well. I want to ask you to consider your response to the word, to what we've seen in the word this morning. I want to encourage all of us to be in prayer. Be in prayer. Ask the Lord to make us more obedient, to give us those divine encounters. Because here's the thing: when you're used by the Lord as an instrument in somebody's life to see them come to Christ, it's infectious. It encourages us to do more. Pray that God would give us those divine encounters in our family, in our workplace, out in the community with people that you know, wherever it is, whenever it is, whoever it is. Pray for those divine encounters that will encourage us in our obedience to sow the gospel. But also, in a crowd like this, there's always the real possibility that there's someone here who they've never begun that journey of following Jesus. The gospel seed has yet to take root in their lives. Listen, here's my encouragement to you. Don't walk away from this text this morning trying to evaluate which kind of soil you are. That's not the point. The point is, receive the message. Let it take root in your heart and begin following after Jesus. How do we do that? It's through repentance, turning away from sin. And it's through faith, trusting in the finished work of Jesus alone on the cross. I guarantee you, if you will place your faith in him today, you don't need to worry what kind of soil you are. You just need to keep running the race. Just keep running after Jesus. Just keep following him. And when you get to the end, there's not going to be a concern, was I really just rocky path? Was I really just thorny soil? You'll hear, well done, good and faithful servant. We're going to have a time of response here in just a moment, and we're going to sing, and this is an opportunity for you to go to the Lord, and you know, whatever your response needs to be, this is the time to do that. This is a time to just be honest before the Lord. So I pray that you'll do that. Would you pray with me? Our kind and gracious Heavenly Father, we confess this morning, we're desperate for you. Every one of us. Every one of us at some point in our lives, we know that we were living for self. We were living like the world until that seed came into our hearts and it took root. And we began to see the beauty of Christ. We began to see the joy of a life that is devoted to Jesus. Not because it's always easy, but because it is filled with joy and peace and hope. Father, I pray that you would remind us of our own salvation as we go out and seek opportunities to share with others. And if there are some here this morning who have yet to enter into a relationship with Jesus, may this be the glorious day when they step off the throne of their own lives and let Jesus take his rightful place. Father, we commit this time of response to you because each one of us has some way that we need to respond to your word this morning. And so we commit this time to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Church, would you stand as we sing?